In the small town of Bethlehem, Mary gave birth to a son and placed him in a manger because there was no room in the inn. At that moment, the seed of good news, which had been growing in Mary, was born, and it changed the world forever. A seed that was promised to Abraham thousands of years prior, that would come and change the world, that would draw people to God himself. And after the official birth announcement was given to a group of shepherds, we find they have an appropriate response, which teaches us that good news must be born. As I think about good news, I think about the good news that we experience in life, and I suspect that we've all had something that we've been excited to share with the people around us. And I wonder, when you experience something incredible, something so out of the ordinary, who the first person is that you would want to tell? I suspect it would be a parent, a child, a grandparent, a close friend. But a complete stranger? Probably not who you would go to. Someone completely unrelated to the situation from your perspective, probably not who you would go to. And as Jesus is born, he's placed in this manger. He is named by Mary and Joseph, the very name that the angel told them to give him. A birth announcement is proclaimed. In fact, an angel comes from heaven to proclaim the birth of this child born in Bethlehem. And rather than going to the palace of the king, rather than going to the officials of the town of Bethlehem, even rather than going to the family of Mary and Joseph, this angel shows up to a group of shepherds who are just out doing their job. They're out watching the sheep, taking care, doing what they had done night after night, day after day. And imagine the surprise when an angel shows up in Luke chapter 2. Beginning at verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger.' And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Well, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, what the Lord has told us about.' And so they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about the child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." The good news of Christmas was that the good news was born. It had finally arrived. We've talked throughout this series so far about the good news of time, the good news of joy, the good news of song. And at just the right time, God sent his son to be born, to live so that he would teach us, so that he would set the example, so that he would eventually be crucified and buried and raised from the dead, and ascend to heaven to prepare a place for those who would put their faith in him. And so at that time, God brings the announcement of the good news that the Savior of the world has been born. And I suspect as we gather here, especially in the United States of America, and we celebrate Christmas and we pronounce and announce that Christ has been born, the question that we're probably not willing to say out loud is, so what? What difference does it make? Well, I believe if we look at the example of the shepherds, we ought to see our response woven throughout their response in that it does make a difference. That the good news that was born in Bethlehem is the same good news that is born in our life when we come to Christ and we surrender and we say, God, you're in charge. So we're going to look at four things that this good news ought to do in our life, or that we ought to do in response to this good news. The first thing that I recognize when the good news is announced to the shepherds, that the good news is believed. Now, can you imagine where this story would go if it had started, in, as we read in verse 8, and the shepherds were out and they were taking care of their sheep, and the angel came and says, guess what? The Savior of the world has been born in Bethlehem. And the shepherds had got together and thought, boy, that was a crazy dream. There's nothing that could have happened in Bethlehem like what they said, or we would have heard of it by now. They could have said, it's too late, it's too dark, it's too whatever. We can't respond. But instead, the first response of the shepherds to the good news of the birth of Jesus was they believed. And that needs to be our response when we recognize the good news of Jesus as it's shared to us. And many of us in this room have responded to that. We have believed the message. We believe that Jesus was born the Son of God. We believe that he came to save his people from their sins. And that includes you and that includes me. And so the good news is born when the good news is believed. Because until we believe it and really believe it deep within ourselves, we're never going to share it. And so the shepherds began with the good news that was born, and they believed. Mark 1:15, as Jesus begins his public ministry, he says, the time has come, the kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. The same response that the shepherds had is the same response that Jesus calls for you and I to have, is to believe. What does that produce? What does that mean? What does that look like? When we believe the good news, then it's time to observe the result of that good news. The shepherds could have believed and just said, okay, that's nice. The Savior's been born. We'll leave them alone. They probably need some quiet time. I love the Facebook meme that floats around that talks about Mary giving birth to this baby and placing it in a manger. And somewhere some mother thought, you know what that baby needs is a drum solo. And we love that. I love that Christmas song, The Little Drummer Boy. You know, we think of that as a neat Christmas song. And it's a really great pronunciation of proclaiming God and worshiping Jesus. But when you think about the practicality of it, a drum solo probably isn't the first thing that a young mother wants to hear when their baby's been born. But I don't know. I've never been a young mother. So but they could have said to themselves, I believe that what the angel said was true, but let's just give them some space. Let's give them some time. Let's not bother them. And yet that's not what they did. The shepherds believed the message to such an extent that it says that they hurried off to see this thing, to observe what they had been told. And when they arrived at the place that the baby was, they found everything to be just as they'd been told. And when we consider the good news of Jesus, when we consider it coming to us through God's word, God calls us to believe the good news. He also calls us to look into it, to pay attention to it, to notice. James chapter 1 verse 25 says, but the one who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. The good news is born when we believe, it's born when we observe what it says and we do it. We respond in a fashion that is appropriate. So many times we hear the Word of God, we know what it says, but we have a difficult time realizing how it applies to Monday morning. And the good news of Christmas is the good news that we observe the Word of God day in and day out. That it defines how we live, it defines how we treat our family, it defines how we treat our coworkers, it defines how we treat our neighbors and our enemies alike. The angels pronounced the birth of Jesus, and the shepherds wanted to go see. That ought to be the response when people encounter Jesus in you, when people encounter Jesus in me. There ought to be a desire within them to go and see what this is about. One of the best ways to share Jesus with people is person to person. What I do up here on Sundays is useful and it's beneficial and it's scriptural in teaching and instructing. But it ought to be part of equipping every one of us to share the good news with the people that I might not see this week. With your family, with your neighbors, with your coworkers, with your fellow students. And when we live with that light of Jesus in it, it ought to be shining in such a way, the Bible says that people see our good works and they glorify our Father in heaven. They observe God at work in us. And this good news of Christmas is observed when we allow Jesus to be living and active in the way that we treat one another, in the way that we worship God. That we don't confine our worship to a time block on a Sunday morning, but it's what we do with our life 24/7. God's desire is that we would recognize the good news has been born. And because the good news of Jesus is born in our life, we must believe. We must observe everything that He commanded. But we also must report. Verses 17 and 18 we read a little bit ago. After the shepherds had seen Mary and Joseph and the baby, they went and spread the word concerning everything they had been told and everything they had seen. It wasn't enough to keep it to themselves. It wasn't enough to say, wow, that was a neat experience. But rather, there was an imperative within their very soul that says, I have to tell somebody. And they went out reporting everything that they had seen. They said one of the greatest ways to introduce people to Jesus is through that individual one-on-one. And the greatest tool of that is your own testimony. Telling people what Jesus has done in your life. Telling people how you have seen God work in ways that had to be God because nothing else could have accomplished it. And you have a testimony that is different than my testimony, which is different than someone else's testimony. And altogether, when those are shared in the appropriate ways to the appropriate people, God does a mighty work. And when we proclaim the Savior which is born, we report with our very life all that we have seen and heard. Acts 4:20. The apostles are being told you can't be preaching about Jesus anymore. You can't even speak that name anymore. It's causing problems. Nobody wants to hear it. Their response in Acts 4:20 is, we cannot help speaking about what we have seen and what we have heard. That ought to be the response of every believer that has gazed into God's Word, that has experienced Jesus alive in their life. That we cannot help but to share and to tell and to report all that we have seen and heard. The good news of Christmas is Jesus has come to us. Are we willing to report how He lives within us, how He's active within our life? You see, this good news of Christmas is not simply about believing. It's not simply about observing God's Word. It's not even simply about reporting to others what God has done. But it's about that continued growth. The good news of Christmas, the good news that was born, is about nurturing our own faith, about nurturing the faith of others. The Bible says one of the reasons that we gather together like we do this morning is so that we can encourage one another. And it doesn't take long away from fellow believers before we get discouraged. There are plenty of people, maybe not in your life, but at least in my life, there are plenty of people that try to bring us down to their level. And it can be a very discouraging place. And sometimes it's not people. Sometimes it's the simple circumstances of life. You know how it is. The month is longer than the paycheck kind of thing. And we become so discouraged and so concerned about how we're going to live week to week, day to day. And we come together to encourage one another, to share those stories of how God has made a little last longer than we ever expected. And it's when we share those stories of how God has worked in our life that we begin to nurture the lives of others. They begin to see that there's hope. And while every one of us live a life that's unique and different from one another, there are definitely similarities. And as the body of Christ grows, we find that there are people within this room that understand what you're going through, even if I don't. And there are people in this room that understand what I'm going through, even if you don't. And as we gather together, as we share those stories, we nurture the faith. And when our faith is weak, we become like the man in Scripture that cries out to Jesus, "I believe, but help my unbelief. I'm not there yet." It's a growth process. And God says that's true of every one of us. Just as in the physical realm, if a person was born and they looked like me as they were born out of their mother's womb, we would think that was a really strange thing and that poor mom. We expect them to be born as an infant because that's the natural way of life. But if they stay an infant and 5 years later they're still sitting there in that crib, we begin to think something's not quite right here. And there are times where children don't develop as they should and things go wrong and they need some medical intervention, they need some therapy, they need some help, and we get that. And we love that child and we nurture them and we help them to grow to the best of their ability. And we understand that each one of us has been gifted with the ability that's different from others. And so we don't carry the same expectations of someone that doesn't have the ability with someone that does. But our goal is to nurture to the point where we exceed what we can do in our own flesh so that we do what we can in the power of God's Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8, Paul's writing. He says, "I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God made it grow. So neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who makes things grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and that's to do their part. Their one purpose is to add what they can. And it goes on to say, and each one will be rewarded according to their own labor. The good news that was born on Christmas Day is the good news that God desires that we nurture in our own life, and we use that to nurture others. We help them to grow. As we consider what it looks like on this Christmas Eve morning, we consider the value that Jesus brings to our life. And we could spend days if each one would just simply write down how much value Jesus has brought to your life. And perhaps that would be a good homework assignment if you want to come to church and get a homework assignment. Is to go home and spend some time today or tomorrow. Find a quiet time in the midst of all of the holiday bustle and hustle and chaos, to just get alone with God and write out what He has done in your life. Not that you have to share it verbatim with anyone else, but doing that helps you to think through so that you can share it with others in a personal way, in a sit-down over a cup of coffee kind of way. You see, if the good news of Christmas has been born in your life, then it needs to be shared with others so that they can be born within their life as well. And it has to be more than a story. The stories are a great place to start. They give us a framework on which to live. But if we simply gaze into God's Word and we say, well, that's a nice collection of neat stories, we're missing the point. The point of God's Word is not simply to give us stories and examples, but it's to transform our life. And so this good news that was born is news that we must believe. It's news we must observe. We must gaze deeply into it. We must report it to others. We must use it to nurture and to help others grow. And so this morning we come to a time of decision. What will you do with the good news that was born that first Christmas day? If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered to Christ, you've never been immersed into Christ to have your sins washed away, to be given the gift of His Spirit, that's where it begins. Jesus says that when we are buried with Christ, that we will surely be risen with Christ. Risen to live a new life, risen to be that one that was born, a new creation. And if that's a decision that you need to make today, I'd love to sit down and talk with you about that. But many times those who come out for a worship gathering at a church or pay attention and watch it online, you do so because you believe in Jesus. You've made that decision. You're following Him. And so the decision for many of us in this room today is, what must I do with that Savior that was born? Does my life look and act like I really believe? Now, we can claim to believe a lot of things, but unless we do something about it, our belief seems rather weak. I mean, I can tell you all that I want to tell you that I believe I can fly. But I also let you know that every time that I get up on a roof to work, I use a ladder. I really don't believe I can fly, no matter how much I tell you that I can. And maybe we need to make that decision that my belief in that Savior that was born is going to make a difference in my life. It's going to be more than words. I'm going to put it into practice. I'm going to do something. Maybe your decision is about the way you observe God's Word. Perhaps you're not spending the time in it that you know you ought to. And you need to take a closer look at what it says and how God wants you to live. Or maybe you believe and you gaze into God's word. You're a student of his word. You love to study it and to take it in and to just grow in it. But, well, it's talking to people is kind of a scary thing. And maybe he's calling you to take that message of what you believe and share it with somebody. Report it. Let your life speak, but let your words speak also. But regardless if there's work God wants you to do in any of those three areas of believing, observing, reporting, I believe he wants every one of us to work at nurturing. That we help one another grow. We help one another get through every week, every day. We be the body of Christ so that the world looks at us and says, wow, those people really love one another. Those people really love like Jesus loves. When we grow in doing that, we grow in the way we nurture the people around us. If you have a decision that you need to make today, that you need to make publicly, as we sing, now's the time to respond. If you need to talk with somebody, to pray with someone about that decision, you're welcome to come and you can meet me over here to my left. But whatever that decision is today, now is the time. Will you make it? And will you follow it? Will you stand as we sing?